A little bit of confidence can be a dangerous thing. It can put ideas into your head that you might actually be able to do something that you have absolutely no experience at having done before, which in turn can lead to everything from mild disappointment to outright catastrophe. For example, last year I built a small shop in which to keep my tools and build stuff and otherwise putz around in a typical guy fashion. I had never previously built a shop, or anything else for that matter, but reading about it on the internet emboldened me. The internet is another fantastic source for danger, by the way. So I built this small shop, and an amazing thing happened. It came out okay. Over the past year, this has led to me thinking I can actually do things I haven't previously done or thought I could do. My latest project is that last week I stripped out the flooring from my boat, intent on cleaning out what was underneath and installing a new floor over top when it's clean. My boat isn't very big, but it does have a raised front, a full dash and windshield, and a few other things to cut and build around. It's not quite as easy as throw in a sheet of plywood and call it done. How will my efforts come out? Well, the next few weeks will reveal exactly that. It does bring up the question, with summer nearly here, what will I use to get my family out on the water to have fun if I somehow mess this up really badly? Fortunately, other options exist. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I do not mean to imply that I have a stable of boats. I do not. I have one 16-foot Sea Runner with a 50-horse kicker on the back. Some folks up here do have several boats, so one that's gutted and temporarily out of commission wouldn't be a big deal. When I say boat, I'm guessing that most of us default to thinking about one of two things. A motor-powered boat that's somewhere between 16 and 24 feet in length, give or take a bit, or a larger-sized vessel used primarily for commercial fishing ventures. But there are other ways to get out on the water, at least from a recreational standpoint. Today, with summer approaching, the ice receding, and more water becoming exposed, I thought we could take a look at some of those options. While there may be some overlap here, for the purposes of today's episode, I'm going to divide the discussion into three groups: kayaks, canoes, and inflatables. I say there is some overlap because there are inflatable kayaks and canoes. Let's start with the kayaks. I have to confess, I've never sat in or on a kayak for even a single moment of my life. That said, they are a very popular form of recreational non-motorized boating, so they absolutely need to be a part of what's discussed today. There are many types of kayaks, each somewhat more uniquely suited to a specific application or situation. One type is the recreational kayak. These can be a great route to go for beginners in that they are easy to use, have a fairly high level of stability, and they're more economical. They're best when used during calm conditions on tamer waters, such as ponds, lakes, or slow-moving rivers. Most are a bit on the smaller side and don't have the cargo space you might want for an extended trip. Still, these can be a great way to get your feet wet, so to speak. Another type is the touring kayak or sea kayak. These are longer, larger, and are designed to provide greater stability in rougher waters. They have sealed hatches to be able to store a fair amount of gear for longer ventures. Sea kayaks often have a skeg, a small fin on the bottom that helps it to track better while paddling. A downside to the sea kayak, for many, is that, well, they can cost more. Yet another type of kayak is the sit-on-top kayak. These kayaks are just as the name suggests. Rather than sitting in a cockpit, you simply sit on top, with molded depressions to fit the seat and where your legs and feet go. These are also popular with beginners and have also gained a following with fishermen. They're wider than other kayaks and are harder to capsize, another plus. One potential downside is that being in a position on top, you're more exposed to the elements, so they can be colder. I mentioned inflatable kayaks. These are light, portable, and easier to store. The knock on them is they're potentially not quite as durable, and they're slower to paddle. Canoes are something I know a little more about, not that I'm an expert by any means. But I have, at different junctures in my life, spent a fair amount of time in canoes, and consider them to be an excellent and enjoyable way to get about on water. As with kayaks, there are different types of canoes for different applications. Though for most of us around here, and for the situations we're likely to use canoes for, the only real differences will be in size, to some degree, and the materials they're made from. My first experiences in a canoe were in a fairly long aluminum model, back during my college days. On the subject of length, canoes in the 16 to 17 foot range, well, the size I first paddled in, are popular. Canoes of this length offer a nifty combination of speed and carrying capacity, as well as being easy to handle. Longer canoes are easier to paddle over long distances, in addition to carrying a larger payload, a critical factor if you're going to use it to hunt. Shorter models weigh less and can be easier to transport. Try going on a long canoe trip, one with a lot of portaging, on the boundary waters of Minnesota, for example, and a lighter canoe is something you'll come to appreciate quickly. In terms of materials, fiberglass, aluminum, and different forms of plastic are all pretty common. I'd like to mention one other canoe, and that's the inflatable canoe. I have an inflatable model called the Colorado. It's designed for two people, though you can get away with two adults and a kid. It's lightweight at just over 30 pounds and fairly short at just under 11 feet. It's not a canoe you'd want to take on a long trip, but for day trips to just get out and see things or to do a bit of fishing, it's a pretty sweet water ride. I highly recommend it. It's available in many places, but it's an item that ships free from Amazon. I'd also like to mention what I'll call inflatable boats. The boats I'm putting into this category are Zodiac-style boats, though many companies manufacture such types, and rafts. The Zodiac-style boats have a transom that allows you to attach a boat motor, and they can vary greatly in size. The other type, which I'm labeling rafts, can have a rowing frame or no frame at all, and can span a wide range of sizes and prices. Really good river rafts with rafting frames can cost thousands of dollars, though used ones can be found for a fraction of that. These are the type of rafts that we use for our float camp that we conduct for high school students. I cannot begin to convey to you just how peaceful and satisfying a float trip on a good raft can be. Those who have participated in such a float know what I'm talking about. But thousands of dollars are not needed just to get out and enjoy smaller local waters. For example, I own a small raft, an Intech Seahawk 2, which will set you back all of $100 or so. Now, I wouldn't want to shoot any rapids in it, but I've had both my daughters and wife out in it on smaller waters to fish for pike or just for the fun of having it out, and it works just great for that. It is my sincere hope and expectation that I'll get my boat put back together with a new floor that's a vast improvement over what was there before. I can go places with that boat and do things in it that I can't do with a raft or canoe. However, if that project stalls a bit, for whatever reason, I'm still going to be able to get out and have fun on the water. And that would be my encouragement for each of you, to find a way and get out and enjoy our area's waters, in whatever form that might take. No doubt many of you are already all too familiar with the joys of smaller boats, such as kayaks, canoes, and rafts. If that's the case, I would invite you to share that joy with others. For those of you that do have a small fleet of motorized boats, it's worth having a canoe or raft around as well, to add a bit of variety to your own water-based adventures. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.